Yeah, you bet.
Good.
Operator error, right?
Joe, be careful, I'll tell your dad.
I know you, but I gotta be really good now.
I don't have the adoption papers yet.
That's it?
Good evening.
Evening.
Good to see all of you out, and I hope you had an enjoyable afternoon, a restful afternoon, and we have so much to be thankful for. So let's go ahead and have an opening word of prayer, then we'll dive right into our song service, and we're looking forward to, after that, to the presentation of Derek and his family, and a lot of things to look forward to. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are faithful, even when sometimes, many times more than we'd like to admit, we are unfaithful. But I do pray that we would have a renewed desire, even today, to serve you and to love you and to obey your commands. And we do thank you for the wonderful truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners such as I. I do thank you that he rose again the third day. I thank you that whoever believes on him has eternal life. I do pray that it would be the burden of our hearts to share that good news with all those who need to hear it. So I do thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have in him. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 526 this evening. 526, I'll allow you to remain seated as long as you sing well. 526, do want to draw your attention. After the third hymn, we will be taking a few testimonies as we begin our Sunday evening tradition of a few testimonies of what the Lord has done in our lives over this last week. So do be thinking about that if you had forgotten last week. Hopefully you remember now. And now you're scrambling in your mind to figure out what it is the Lord has done for you this last week. I'm sure you all can find something. So we'll take just a few tonight so that we can allow the missionaries to have all the time that they need as well. All right, 526. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Amen. Let's turn back just one page. Just one page. 525, I will praise him. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth on this one. First, second, and fourth. 1, 2, and 4. 525, I will praise him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a dragon.
Turn back just a few pages to 430, I must tell Jesus. Thank you. is that time of the evening where you have the opportunity to testify about what God has done in and through and around you this last week in particular. Anyone would have something they would like to share with us this evening? Yes, Ines.
This young man, back when my husband was alive, took some money from my husband and was going to do some work on a car of ours. And he never did the work. And we kept calling him and he kept not giving us the runaround. And finally we went and got a car and brought it home. And that's been like probably 10 years ago. And this young man appeared at my door that day. Marshall was over there a little later on, or earlier, or what. But anyway, he appeared at my door with a $100 bill for me. And he said he'd be back in 2 weeks for the rest of it. And I didn't even remember how much he took from us. And I was telling my daughter, Shirley, and I said, oh, it was $1,000. But I knew that Marshall knew exactly how much it was because he got in the money. And Marshall had seen him somewhere and said, but I don't know how you could have done that to my parents. I feel like you need to get over there and get along on that money back. The young man told him that he wasn't on drugs no more, which he was at that time. He wasn't drinking no more. So I kind of think that he became a Christian and he wanted to make amends. I don't know if this is true or not. I might find out the next time he visits me. But I really believe that in, probably about a week now, that he'll be at my door with another $100 bill. And that was a real blessing to me, and I needed it, to say the least. And I was very, very happy, and he didn't linger long. He just said, how you been? And I'll see you in 2 weeks. And but it was a real blessing, and that's what I think happened, that he found the Lord, and he decided to make amends for people that he'd come along.
It's amazing how the Lord blesses us sometimes, isn't he? Right when we need it. All right, someone else? Another testimony? Yes, Marv.
Well, the good Lord heard my cries, I guess, because my body was itching quite a bit. And my wife was on the telephone talking to her daughter out in Illinois. And she mentioned about what was going on. She said, well, have him get this Avon. And we know that, but anyway, I had medicine that you could get at the drugstore over the counter, and she went out and got it, and the Lord answered my prayers of the location. Watch the watch now.
Yeah.
Away. And I passed it on to Dwayne up there, and helped him out. So the Lord does answer prayers.
Amen. All right. See, and the Lord can use one another to bless us. So it doesn't have to be something that he does directly, although he does it directly, as we know. He's in sovereign control. But it doesn't have to be something that we, you know, we can say, well, you know, the Lord really directly did that, but he uses us to help one another and encourage one another. It's a great, great testimony. All right. Anybody else? Got time for maybe one more? Kevin?
My brother Dan's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Good. Huh? The Lord sure protects us wherever we are. Protects his own. And sure, have been praying for Dan, and I know that you all have been as well. The Lord will protect him while he's over there in Afghanistan, and many others that we know, and that are serving our country around the world. So we're going to pray, continue to pray that the Lord would protect them, and that's certainly a blessing. Thank you, Kevin. All right, let's turn to 422 then. 422, no, not one. 422, and we'll sing the first, third, and fifth. First, third, and fifth. 422. And finally this evening, we'll turn over to hymn number 503, Jesus, I Am Resting, Resting. Do you want me to introduce him?
Yeah.
Derek Black. Brother Derek's going to come, and are we going to do this now first, or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sure. Not a problem. All right. That'll give me a chance to turn the microphone.
All right. Well, good evening. Once again, well, not once again, this morning was good morning, but greetings once again. I mentioned this a little bit this morning, but last week we were in Wisconsin, and we were there when they had a little bit of a cold spell, even cold for them, when it was brought in towards the end of our stay with them, 20 below zero at night, the low temperatures. And so I told them, and they had a Christian school there, and was able to tell the kids at the Christian school that we were able to work it out, that since we're going to Alaska, that we just shared with them a little bit more realistically the mission field with them in Alaska. And I hear that we're supposed to get a snowstorm here, some snow possibly, we'll see. I know Chicago is supposed to get pretty dumped on where we're from over the next few days through Wednesday. And so, you know, we'll just share a little bit more of Alaska-type weather with the Midwest. Anyway, but it's a blessing to be here with you guys. We had a joy sharing God's Word this morning and talking a little bit about Alaska this morning and over lunch with your pastor, and had a restful afternoon. And we just want to thank you all for hospitality and just being able to come and share what God has laid on our heart to do up in Alaska. Give time for a little bit of questions in a little bit if you want to be thinking through that. We do call our ministry Standing in the Gap Ministries. Mentioned that this morning. It's a picture of our prayer card. And we have many more prayer cards. So if that stack runs out, that's back on the table. We have a bunch more underneath. So feel free to take those if you have not already. It kind of sums up our passion to be involved in indigenous church planting. And when we say indigenous, what we mean by that is the people in the context of their own culture catching the vision to take ownership of the church. So our vision is to see God raise up more Eskimo church leaders and more Eskimo church pastors, and so that they can continue the work of the ministry on throughout their own culture and other cultures without the presence of a missionary. So that's kind of our main goal, and this is all based around this passage in Ezekiel 22, verse 30. In that context, God had His people, the chosen people of Israel, in the Old Testament, and He had caused them, and had given them a purpose to be a shining light of God's righteousness to the surrounding nations, and they were failing to do that. They had struggles, and in fact, God had established the leadership, both the political leadership and the religious leadership, to lead the people in the right direction. And back then, the cities were fortified by walls to protect the cities. Today, when you came to here, I guess we're in the city limits of Des Moines, sort of, somewhere around there, just outside of it. But we're staying over in Altoona, and so coming in here, we didn't enter a city gate. You know, when we came up yesterday, down from 80, from over in Chicago, we didn't enter a city gate. We didn't have to worry about Altoona coming and attacking Des Moines or vice versa, like they did back then. At least I hope we don't have to worry about that. But they did back then, and so the walls fortified those cities against their enemies. And so that's the vernacular, the language that Ezekiel uses here when he says that God is searching for somebody, spiritual leadership that was supposed to be protecting the people, like a spiritual wall of protection about the people, and they were not doing that. And in fact, there were gaps in that wall, and so it's in that context that he says that God's searching for somebody to make up those gaps, to make up the hedge, to make up the wall, and stand in the gaps, in the gap before me for the land of Israel, that I should not destroy it. And then tragically, that verse ends that he found none. This is the passage of Scripture that God really used in my life to open my heart toward the needs on the mission field and how we have the responsibility and the privilege as a missionary of standing in the gap for the gospel and for us specifically in the remote villages across Alaska. But all of us really have this privilege, and so we term this thing called a gapper or a gap stander, like we mentioned a little bit this morning. And all of us have this awesome privilege of standing in the gap. And what we mean by this, a gapper, a gap stander, one who's God appointed under the Great Commission We have all been commanded to be ambassadors, Christ's witnesses of the gospel, active in proclaiming through others can see a changed life in us, but then also verbally as we explain the gospel to others and then growing the kingdom, one whom God uses through the Spirit's power and for the Father's glory. As Jesus builds His unstoppable church, Matthew 16, as we looked at that this morning, and one whom God uses to grow the kingdom for His glory. And so we all have this awesome privilege of standing in the gap in the different areas of influence that God has given each of us. Well, that's a little bit about the background of our ministry and the title, and that's just us, by the way, Standing in the Gap Ministries. It's just something we came up to describe what we're about and what God's given us a passion to do. Share with you a little bit about each of us. I mentioned this morning that Laura and I both had the privilege of being raised in Christian homes, and I was saved at a young age, grew up in a church out in the Chicagoland area, and throughout the youth group years, God started just giving me a heart again from Ezekiel 22:30 about the mission field and wanting to get me interested in that. And at first, my entry point was aviation and wanting to utilize missions aviation a little bit more predominantly. God has since then changed my focus to be a more predominant focus on church planting and utilize aviation a little bit more down the road, still as an effective tool there. God brought together Laura and I, and we were married after my graduation at Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin, back in 2005. And we were able to take several mission trips back before we were married, and then after we were married together, we took some. And one of the things God gave me a heart for, I mentioned this morning, seeing the needs across the villages with all the different addictions and issues and all that, the sin that runs rampant in these areas and that runs rampant throughout the world, really. But God just gave me a passion to get some more study in the area of counseling. And so we have a desire to use biblical counseling in the future, and did some studies there at Maranatha as well with that. Took some short-term mission trips in 07. It was kind of a big trip for us, 3.5-4 months long, that God just used in a great way to open up our eyes even further and give us more experience in actual ministry there. So that's just a little bit about myself, a little bit about Laura. She was born actually up in Alaska. I think I mentioned that this morning. Born down in Anchorage, raised in the Wasilla Palmer area, just to the north, about 45 minutes to an hour. And she was also raised in a Christian home and saved at a young age and had a growing desire to be involved in missions, but also the medical aspect of missions, using the medical field through nursing to share God's love with people and utilize that on the mission field. And she did move down from Alaska to the Illinois area when God providentially saw fit to move her dad with a job transfer that he had. Down to the area, and that's where we met, and attended the same high school together and then college. And then she graduated Maranatha as well with kind of a preparatory degree that she utilized to then go on to school in Chicago when she did her nursing there. And she's worked as an ER nurse in the Chicago area for a little bit and just has a desire to use nursing. And that really will be a key aspect to our ministry. A lot of the villages, you don't just go into a village and say, hey, normally, you don't just go into a village and say, hey, we're here to set up a church. If they don't want you there, they don't perceive that they need a church, they can literally run you out of town or not allow you to stay and take up residence in that community. And so we want a legitimate way to be there to give back to the people, give back in a tangible way to the community. And so we've seen that avenue through nursing. And so Laura's planning on utilizing that on a part-time basis. And so she's looking forward to that, to getting back to what she considers her home state and utilizing that on the field there. And then we have one for our little guy, Elias. He was born to us back on December 23rd in 08. So he's just over 2 years old now. And we wrote that little thing for him there. He says, so far I've been growing up in Elgin, Illinois, enjoying all the sights and sounds. And my car seat brings me as mommy and daddy drive me around on something called deputation. And he's been quite the trooper. And we've been lots of places in the past almost 2 years. And it says, I'm looking forward to going to Alaska. I should add full time because he's already been a couple times thus far. But do seriously pray for him. Kids have that unique influence that the parents, as adults, will never be able to have. And so that's a little word about our testimonies, about our background. I won't say too much about this because the video really portrays the different mission trips that God has allowed us to be involved in. I will point out this picture here. It's the frozen Arctic Ocean behind us on a trip that we took on the very north shore of Alaska. And this here, there's a full picture in one of the picture albums back there. There's actually two of them that come up like this, and that's the jawbones to a whale. And you can see how massive the whales are. So Jonah definitely, anyone who wants to argue that, Jonah definitely could have been swallowed by a whale. And those whales are very, very massive. But anyway, that baleen piece that I showed this morning, that's back there on the table with a little etching on it, it lines that jawbone, each side of it. So it gives you a little bit of an idea. Anyway, so I won't say too much about that. The videos will cover that. I'm going to kind of recap our summary. Going back to what we talked about this morning about Jesus Christ being our ultimate gap standard, bridging our sins gap, that we now have the privilege and we desire to be lowercase gap standards for our Savior, who's the capital GS gap standard, who stood in our sins gap, and we stand now in the gap for His cause in Alaska. I'll draw your attention just to this map as it comes up here to kind of give you an overview of what we're looking at. This western part of the state, a cluster of about 60 to 70 villages or so. And our vision, our desire is to start in kind of a centrally located area and see a centralized work be established. Ministry is often slow up there, so see that ministry established sometime in the neighborhood of 5 to 10 years or so, something like that. And then with the long-term goal of acquiring an aircraft down the road and then helping them train indigenous leadership and fly them out to the surrounding smaller communities to reach their own people with the gospel. So that's a little bit of a snapshot of what we have envisioned God would have us do. This last thing here, if some of this goes over your head, that's fine, but if it interests you and you like computers and technology, you can check it out. But God's given me an interest in technology. And our youth today are just, this is the way they think. And I have a passion to utilize this stuff for the gospel. And so at our website, we have lots of different things, photos and prayer letters and a little blog. Which, if you don't know what a blog is, that's just little articles that we write from time to time. Like the sermon this morning, posting that up there. The online gospel message thing. Facebook today, lots of people are on Facebook. My grandparents are on Facebook. It's kind of neat because they can keep in touch with us as we're traveling, and they can see pictures of our little guy and everything. So if that interests you, you can go look us up online, and all that information is at our table and at our website and everything, and just unique ways that we can share with others how to pray for us and where we're at. And so we share all of our supporters that are out there and our prayer supporters that we're in Iowa right now, and that they can be more knowledgeable how to pray. So just really neat. We can get kind of scared with technology, or we can try to harness it and utilize it. And so that's what we've been attempting to do. So with that, we'll go ahead and I'll show the video. It's about 10 minutes long. And after that, we'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions that may be on your mind. Speaker. I'm not sure where the speaker's at. There's no audio right here. It comes on here in a second, so you're not missing much.
weather systems and popular tourist destinations of Alaska, the state is filled with tundra, spanning hundreds of miles across Alaska's vast landscape. These vast regions are populated by hundreds of remote native villages, accessible only by boat or air. And it is here that God has called us for church planting.
Stood in our own gap for righteousness' sake, we as believers now have the awesome privilege of standing in the gap in a broken world. God has given us a passion for indigenous church planting among the remote Eskimo villages of Alaska. Therefore, everything we seek to do in Alaska revolves around this passion.
God has truly blessed us by giving us several previous ministry opportunities across the state. Throughout the summers during college, Laura and I both had opportunities for service in Alaska. While Laura went on a medical mission trip in the state, I went on several missionary aviation trips throughout the bush. It was during these trips that God gripped my heart for preaching and for the specific need of indigenous village church planting. I also saw firsthand the great asset that missionary aviation can be to a remote ministry in Alaska. During these trips, I also gained some Cessna 206 Alaska flight time. I was also able to gain several weeks' worth of aviation maintenance experience, exposure that taught me much regarding the background and logistics of carrying out such an aviation ministry. I also greatly enjoyed having exposure in a counseling role at a remote youth camp, as well as several remote village preaching opportunities. initial goals will be number one to get to the field. Please pray for true GAP standard partnerships to be built. We will first enter Fairbanks for a couple of years. This will give us critical time to take culture language acquisition classes at a local university. Also, it will give us an opportunity for Laura to make contacts in the Native nursing community, for me to work alongside a missionary aviation ministry to the bush, and finally to provide further opportunities to build contacts and direction for the future. Our long-term goals are, one, to select a strategic village conducive to aviation and nursing ministry opportunities, two, build a centrally located indigenous church, and three, use aviation to then assist in indigenous GAP standard outreach to the surrounding villages. Thank you so much for taking the time to check our ministry out. Please pray for us, Derek, Laura, and Elias Black, as we endeavor to be GAP standards for our great GAP standard, Jesus Christ, throughout the distant lands of Alaska.
Goals where it says our initial term of entering Fairbanks for a short period and doing culture language acquisition. We've since then looked at the opportunity of doing that in a couple of different areas, one of them being out in the Eskimo region, a town called Bethel, a hub community, and so we are looking into that possibility, and we're being optimistic and trying to plan and see if there's a way that we may be able to begin part of our Alaska ministry, get up there again sometime soon, possibly over the course of this next year at some point. So, but anyway, that was a little bit of a background, seeing what God has allowed us to do in the past, and look forward then to what we believe God is leading us to do in the future. So with that, any questions? Maybe that the video brought to mind, something that I have mentioned, have not mentioned, anything at all?
I was wondering about Laura's her background. I mean, she was born in Alaska, but is her heritage from there, or you know what I mean?
She was born there, and her dad was born there, but she is not an Alaskan indigenous native. She's not an Indian or an Eskimo, nothing like that in her background, in her family. So, good question. Yes?
What about a mission board or anything like that?
Good question. We do have a pamphlet on the back table that explains our clearinghouse. We were looking at mission agencies that work in Alaska, and at that same time we looked into the option of our church just sending us. And our church is a little bit smaller, and so they needed some help with the administrative financial end of things. At the same time, we found out about this Baptist ministry out of Houston, Texas. It's a clearinghouse. It's called Central Missionary Clearinghouse, and they operate purely for that reason, to provide sending churches, administrative and financial end of things. And so the two really dovetail together really well, and that's the route that we went. And they have you select at least three pastors that form a board of sorts of accountability, and so we have several pastors that are on that are our go-to people, that are kept in the know about everything, and that they essentially function, in addition to our sending church, as our mission agency. So, good question. And like I said, that pamphlet back there explains more information if you have any more questions on that.
Did you see any huskies or dog sleds?
Yes, yeah, they do have those up there. They have dogs. In fact, most of the villages, a lot of the different homes have dogs, and a lot of times they'll be outside tied up. And they don't use them as much anymore for dog sledding. Dog sledding does go on, but in most of the villages, the snow machine, snowmobile has taken the place of the dog sledding. But it is up there still, and in fact, right, what are we, February? Coming up here sometime in February and March, there's two races, one of the biggest ones, known as the Iditarod. And that's, of course, the worldwide event, international attention that comes to that, and that's dog sled. So, good question.
Is there another missionary couple already in that area that you might be either joining with or acquainted with?
Sure, good question. We know of a few that are out there. I've been out and worked alongside briefly on a short-term trip, one of those missionaries. And that region, though, it's pretty spotty, though, for the missionaries that are there. There's some kind of in different areas. And our goal, our desire, is to work alongside someone in the hub community of Bethel to learn and acclimate to the culture and the ministry, and then branch out from there with a team at some point. So we're looking still for God's leading and wisdom in which one that's already out there to jump on board with, or to see God bring along someone to go with us. So, good question. All right, good questions. That little thing you saw me eating was muktuk. I mentioned that this morning, that you'd see that tonight. It's the fat from the outside of the whale and the black skin and all. It's interesting. If that's what that was.
Do you have any knowledge about what it's going to cost, or have you kind of looked at that to see? I know the cost of living up there is.
Right. We have, yes. What we've done is we've sat down on our short-term trips. We've only been out in the village for about 4 months, sections at a time. But still being out there 4 months, we had to take care of our groceries and everything, and seeing the price of utilities and everything, and seeing what rent costs and what housing costs. And so from our own trips, we've kind of taken that into account. We've looked at other missionaries and what they have allotted for a budget. And then we've had several... men at our church looked at from the business side of things, what the government allows for per diems up there for work, and so we've taken all of that data and collected it, and have come up with a budget. And like you say, it is pretty expensive. In the villages, they do have a lot of the villages have a grocery store of some sort, but the prices are high and the selection is generally low. So you can actually make online orders through a couple of the grocery stores on the road system, and have them bulk order and ship supplies out by airplane. And so you just order 2 or 3 months at a time, as much as you can, and save money that way. Cost of handling and shipping is added onto that, and that is a cost. But sometimes that's saves you money than buying locally out there, although you do want to support the local economy as well. So, but to give you an idea, a lot of these villages, one of them we were in recently, milk ran, I think, around, it was $15 a gallon for milk. And a lot of people just use the, what's it called, my wife's not up here, the powdered milk, yes, or the shelf milk instead of the fresh stuff, if you can even get the fresh stuff. Soda, 12-pack of soda, this is one that I just relate to well because I see the sticker, I'm like, wow. But on sale, 12-pack of soda up there you can get for maybe $10.99, $11.99 on sale. So that gives you an idea a little bit of what the cost is. Produce is very hard to come by in the villages up there. Only in the main hub regions, like that Bethel hub that we'll be entering at this point, they do have some produce available. But cost is high, so that's your greatest cost is... your housing is pretty expensive. We've looked at sometimes the rent for housing can be at least $1,000 to $1,500 a month for housing of some sort. Utilities are getting more expensive in the winter time. They can be pushing $700, $800 a month for utilities, with your heating oil making up a huge chunk of that. So between that and food being another big chunk, that could run somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,000 a month or so for food, depending. It adds up, so that's how we've gotten to where we've come to, and it's not cheap by any means, but it'll help out for us having Laura be working on a part-time basis, and we're always open to the possibility, if we get up there and God opens up an opportunity for us to get involved in another way, even if it's a part-time job that I can get involved in or something, to make contacts, to meet more people, and to help financially as well. So we'll see there, but Good question. A month, $6,550 is what our budget is set right now. $6,550 a month. And so then we have, into that we have my wife's nursing, roughly take off about $2,000 of that. And then so what we're trying to raise through deputation is $4,550. So we're at 55% on our support level right now, based on $4,550 a month. So that's what we're looking at.
In your travels up there, we see a lot on the news down here about the tundra melting. In your travels up there, have you experienced any of that or seen any of that?
We have.
Moving whole villages, you know?
Yeah.
About doing that kind of
actually, thing. We have. Now, everyone has their own opinions. You know, people looking at the cyclical nature of different things, you know, most likely, whatever the exact reason is. But it is, there is a little bit of a difference been going on within the past 20 years or so, that we've talked to the local residents up in some of these areas. We've known of at least one or two villages that have actually relocated. We ministered in one for an occasion flying for services to one up on the North Slope that had about 10 years before we were there had to relocate because the water was rising. And they, for the whaling hunts, they go out on the frozen ice right at springtime where it's starting to thaw and break off, and they're finding that it's thawing and breaking off sooner, and then that the ice is coming back later in the fall, and that the waters in the summer are rising higher on old trails that they used to ride on their four-wheelers and stuff, that the water's higher now in the summer. So that they have noticed that in some of these really remote, far north regions. I couldn't tell you the reason, though, you know, so, but yes. So I don't know if it's quite as widespread and as exaggerated as they make it to be, but there is something going on, so.
What was that stuff
you ate
in that picture?
It's called muktuk. It's the blubber of fat from the whale.
What's it like?
It honestly, it tastes like a chewy, fishy, oily fat. It's not...
it's slimy like fat.
It can be, yes. But it's just an acquired taste for sure. And they boil it, they eat it raw too. It just depends. But I've had it both ways, and it's you have to get used to it. I can stomach it, but you have to get used to it.
So you haven't acquired that taste yet?
No, I haven't. I cannot say that I've acquired that taste yet. I do like the whale meat. The steak is pretty good, especially with Tabasco sauce. Mm-hmm. You're set. All right.
It sort of tastes like a half chicken, half fish.
What's that, the meat from the whale? No, it's actually kind of weird. It's a black meat. And I think there's a picture of it in one of the albums, but when you cook it, it looks like a steak on top, and it looks exactly like a steak. But then you cut it apart, and it just fillets apart like a fish. So it kind of has a fishy taste to it, like a fish would, but it's a neat flavor. So, good question. And they eat walrus and seal as well, and of course salmon and halibut where it's available, caribou, moose where those are available. So. Right. Yes.
Do you have any doctors or hospitals up there?
They do, yes. The bigger areas have hospitals, the bigger hub areas. Most of the villages have some sort of a clinic, not all of them, but most of them do have a clinic to some form or fashion. So, but a lot of the more serious cases are flown out to first to Bethel, but then most of the serious cases are flown to the road system, to Anchorage, and in some cases even down to Seattle.
So. Have you selected the area to the west of Alaska?
To the western part of the state, the town that we're looking at entering is called Bethel. And then we've surveyed a few villages around there to branch out eventually, one of those being St. Mary's. It's a village of about 700 people connected to a road to two villages, which makes it unique. But it's isolated other than that, and there's a great need there still. There's just a Catholic church there in town, and that's all to my knowledge. And I don't even know if they have anybody there, you know, doing services at all, even at that church. So there's a great need in that area. So that's kind of a centralized area that we could see for that graphic of long-term. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Most of the village communities are anywhere from a couple hundred to 700 people. So they're pretty small. It's just kind of like your neighborhood, basically, living there. Picture your neighborhood with a runway and then another neighborhood that you have to fly to. So it's really different way of life. But yes.
Are you a pilot or are you from
the Yes, I'm a pilot. Yes. Don't have an airplane yet, but down the road I'd like to. All right, these are great questions. Once again, thank you everybody for your attention and just your questions and your interest in Alaska. We really do appreciate the partnerships through prayers on our behalf and wisdom as we plow ahead and safety as we're on the roads and as we seek to get up to Alaska in God's perfect timing. So how would you like to close?
Thank you, Derek, for sharing with us. And truly, the need is great, but we serve a great God, and our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He's able to provide, and we just trust in Him. And so what we'd like to do now is have our ushers come forward and take a special offering to help the ministry of the Black family. Be sure to take a look at Derek and Laura and Elias's display there on the back table and pick up the prayer card, because definitely we want to be praying, and prayer is so essential in anything that we do. And so be sure to do that. You're all invited to come downstairs for a fellowship right now. We have tons of food, so don't be thinking, well, I didn't bring something, so I'm not going to stay. We have more than enough food, and so please stay if at all possible. And so let's go ahead and bow right now and thank the Lord for this evening. Also, one other note, we have a lot of bread downstairs as well, so even if you don't come down to eat, come down to get some bread. We have a lot to go around there too. So let's go ahead and thank the Lord for this great evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for who You are, and truly we thank You most of all for Jesus Christ and our salvation in Him. And we realize the need is great. There are many people who need to hear the gospel. And truly, even as we think about Alaska and the Indian tribes, the Eskimos, even in the remote areas of Alaska, we pray for their salvation. And we even do pray for the blacks as they desire to go there and share the gospel and make disciples. And so I do pray that You'd bless them in a great way. Thank You for their fervor and their earnest desire to go and to serve You in this manner. And so we do thank You for this day that we've been having. What a blessing it has been. And even as we go downstairs, we thank You for the time of fellowship that we will have, and for the food also. We do thank You for that, and thank You for all the hands that have provided that and prepared. And so we do thank You. You are so good to us. And a gracious God, a merciful God, help us to serve You every single day. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.